Well, we just finished a fairly long series on healing. And we talked about all different kinds of sickness and how the Lord might work and how we might pray toward healing the various kinds of sickness. And as much as we taught about praying for sickness, we said that, you know, in order to have lots of success in praying for healing, you need to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In other words, let the Lord work through you through His spiritual gifts. And today, I want to start a series on spiritual gifts. Now, if these were college courses, we'd have probably said, well, this course on spiritual gifts is the prerequisite, and you have to take it before you go to the course on healing. But the Lord didn't have us do it that way, so we're just going to do it whatever the Lord says, you know. And what I'm going to try to do is, as we talk about spiritual gifts, I'll try to weave in to that some examples and ideas about how that might be used in praying for various kinds of healing, okay? You know, we're all part of a faith-based community, and community means that we all work together for everyone's best. You're not serving God just because you show up for church on Sunday, you know. You actually have to do something. You have to participate. You have to spend some energy, some passion into that community. And y'all do that. You have great servants here in this congregation. Y'all use your gifts, your talents, for the benefit of the kingdom of God. You were talking before about studying your giftings and what are the things that about you that you can use to contribute to the community of the kingdom of God. And so I want to talk some this morning about a specific area of serving, and I want to use this context of gifts and talents. Most of us want to use our gifts and talents to serve the Lord. We want to give them to the Lord for His use. And most of us have been through classes, sessions, home groups, etc., about what are your giftings and how do you use them and that kind of thing. And this morning, I want to show you some perspective on gifts and talents. And I especially want to introduce you to this concept of spiritual gifts. And I want to make the distinction between spiritual gifts and learned gifts or talents that we might have, and hopefully help you learn to operate more in spiritual gifts. Now, there are several kinds of gifts and talents, and it seems like every time I've taken a course or led a course on finding your gifts and talents, folks look at these things a little bit differently. And so I want to make sure that, so that you can understand what I'm talking about, that I have defined the terms before we start, okay? And I'm going to say that there are basically three kinds of gifts and talents. Everything is going to fall into one of those categories. The first category would be natural gifts and talents. Those are the things that you're born with. That's you. That's who you are, and you've always been that way. And then the second category is learned talents or gifts. And those are the things that you've gotten through training, through education. Maybe it's enhanced natural talents you have, but it comes from training and education. The third category of gifts is this category we're going to spend most of our time on today, and that's spiritual gifts. And those are gifts that come entirely from and through the moving of the Holy Spirit, and they have nothing to do with the other two gifts. I want to describe all three of them to you, and I want to make the distinctions so that it's clear what we're talking about, especially when we get to spiritual gifts, okay? I'm going to use my family to describe the different categories of spiritual gifts, at least the first two. I have two brothers, Dave and Paul. Dave is a natural-born athlete. That boy can take up any sport, and he will excel at it. I mean, I don't mean he's just good at it. He's a scratch golfer. He's been an MVP, an all-star, that kind of thing. You know, I mean, he's just a natural athlete. Now, Paul and I, not so much in that category, right? But Paul, on the other hand, is a natural-born artist. At 3 or 4 years old, Paul was drawing color pictures, and all the proportions were right, and he included perspective. And the folks that we took those pictures to saying, what's going on here? They said, wow, that's just way advanced. So his natural gifting was in this area of art. Now, Paul also developed that natural gift through learning and training. He spent a lot of time with art lessons and art training in college. And as a matter of fact, he'll see a new style of art and he'll decide, I want to learn about that. And all of a sudden, you'll see a room in his house has this new style of art. He got 5 or 8, 10 paintings, this new, and boy, he's got it down. I mean, he gets it exactly. He's really good at that stuff. So he's not only had natural talents, but those talents have been developed through learning and training. Both Dave and Paul went to years and years and years and years of medical school to become surgeons. Now, I don't know if they had any natural talent along those lines to start with, but it wouldn't have made any difference because the natural talent would have been so overwhelmed by the huge amount of training that they get. They've gotten all this great training, and now they're very gifted surgeons. So you understand the concept, natural talents, learned gifts or talents. Most of us feel like our gifts and talents, whether they're learned or natural, they're an asset. You know, there's something to be used for good. We like to let our gifts and our talents work to produce something good. We should be able to use our talents for our own benefit, but also for the benefit of others around us. But there's this other kind of spiritual gift that can work through us to produce good, and these are spiritual gifts. And they are very different from what you might have been born with or what you might have learned. And so I'm going to give you a definition, my definition anyway, for spiritual gifts. I think this is consistent with Scripture. You'll see it as we go through. Spiritual gifts are the gifts that come entirely and completely from God through the Holy Spirit to accomplish what no human being could ever accomplish on their own. We, our efforts, our talents, our gifts have absolutely nothing to do with spiritual gifts. We're simply the vessels through which these spiritual gifts flow. Some folks have called them gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of the characteristics of these gifts are that they are short-term. They're only there to operate for a very short period of time because they're very focused on accomplishing a specific goal. And once that goal is done, the gift is gone. They're temporary in that they're there to accomplish a specific purpose, but they're always available, meaning anytime the Holy Spirit wants to use us with spiritual gifts, we need to be available for Him to use us with that gift for that time. Now, I know that sounds a little funny. We call it a gift, and yet it's temporary. How would you feel if I gave you a Christmas gift, and then I took it back after a week? You say, well, that's not a gift. One of the other characteristics of supernatural gifts or the gifts of the Spirit are that they are supernatural. That is, they accomplish something that would be impossible to do without the Holy Spirit. Let me give you some real quick examples of spiritual gifts. On purpose, I'm going to draw these from the business world so that you'll see that we're not just talking about gifts that happen in church. These are for every aspect of our life. Because God cares about every aspect of our life. And the second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to give you examples of gifts that were primarily just for the benefit of one person, me, the person that was using those gifts. So you'll understand that it's not just for the entire body or just for an entire group. God cares about us individually. He cares about us as a community, and He wants to move through us, bring these gifts through us for our benefit and for the benefit of the community. I was in a business meeting once upon a time, and in this meeting, somebody came in to give a presentation. I don't remember what the presentation was about, but they were presenting something, and he starts his PowerPoint presentation, and about two slides in, he starts talking about something, and I hear the Holy Spirit say, "He's lying." And I thought, wow, he is? I mean, I had no way to know whether he's telling the truth or not about this situation. But the Lord, this is a word of wisdom. It's a spiritual gift called word of wisdom. The Lord said, "He's lying." And later I found out he was. He was lying about that. Another business meeting that I was in, this was a meeting where a manager had called the meeting and we all go in. The manager comes in and he is in a huff. I mean, he is obviously not in a good mood. He is ready to eat nails and spit them back out at us, okay? And after a couple of minutes, the gift of discerning of spirits, or distinguishing of spirits, another spiritual gift began to operate, and the Holy Spirit said, "He's under demonic oppression. You need to take authority over those evil spirits." That's what the gift of distinguishing or discerning of spirits is about, is to let you know what kind of spirit is operating, good or bad, and also how to deal with it. And so under my breath, in the name of Jesus, I took authority over that evil spirit and told him to leave him and leave this room and leave our meeting. Now, this is not church. This is just a business meeting. God cares. See? And I'm telling you, within about 2 minutes, his whole demeanor had changed, the whole attitude and atmosphere in the meeting had changed. It turned out to be a very good meeting. God knew that that demon needed to be dealt with, see? Let me give you one last example of a spiritual gift. I had a business. The business was struggling financially at this time. I hired a guy as a programmer, and he was a brilliant programmer. But he was the definition of a loose cannon. I mean, you just couldn't contain him or control him or keep him going in the right direction. And so after a couple of months or so, I had to fire him. But I had paid him for that time, and that money was gone, you know, and we needed the money. I mean, we were struggling. And so I was praying and seeking the Lord. I was out in the middle of a pasture, as a matter of fact. Nobody was around, so I could pace and talk out loud as I wanted to as I prayed and talked to the Lord. And I was saying, Lord, that cost us $7,000 to have that guy working for us for that short period of time. I could have used that $7,000. Man, $7,000 is a lot of money. And about the time I said that, it was almost like the Lord comes up behind me and over my shoulder, he says, I don't care. I mean, it was just real clear, said it just that way. And all of a sudden, in a moment of realization, the gift of word of wisdom started working in me, and I realized my perspective on that $7,000 was all wrong. This guy had literally changed the direction of our company, and it was going to be for the good. And to the Lord, it was not only worth $7,000, he didn't care. He had all the money, and he was going to take care of us anyway. See, word of wisdom. Okay, so you understand what I'm talking about? When I'm talking about spiritual gifts, these are the kind of gifts that I want to talk about some more. And I want to lay a foundation today for those. We'll talk about some. And as we continue on in this series, we're going to go through lots of spiritual gifts, okay? So you see the difference between spiritual gifts, learned gifts, spiritual sense. Spiritual gifts are not in any way related to natural or learned talents that you might have because they come entirely from the Holy Spirit. You're not being gifted as much as you're being a conduit for the gift. It's kind of like an extension cord. You know, you get an extension cord and you plug it into the wall socket there where the power is, and then you plug it into whatever appliance or device you're plugging it into, and that device gets the power and is able to operate. All the extension cord is the connection between that wall socket and the appliance. That's the way it is with us in spiritual gifts. We're the conduit. We're the connection. We plug into the power of the Holy Spirit on one end, and then the Holy Spirit is able to work through us to touch and do whatever miraculous, supernatural things He wants to do. He accomplishes something that no human being working without Him could accomplish. Let's look at some scriptures about talents and gifts this morning. We're going to start in Romans 12. I want to look at two things as we go through these. First of all, I want to distinguish between natural or learned gifts in these scriptures and spiritual gifts. And then the other thing is, and we'll do this throughout the series, is I want to give you examples, mostly that come from Debbie and I. There are two reasons why I'm using examples from just us. The first reason is that we know these stories, and we know that they're true. This is not something I heard written down somewhere. This is something we've lived. But the other reason is that I want to make sure that you understand that all spiritual gifts are available to all believers. The question is not, well, which spiritual gift am I supposed to operate in? The question is, can you be yielded to the Holy Spirit in such a way that whenever He wants to operate through you with whatever gift, He can do that? And I want you to understand, we've operated in them all at different times. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be, well, I got this one gift and that's it. Not what God wants. It's not part of building up a community. Now, usually when we think of spiritual gifts, what do you think of? You think of the nine gifts that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 12, right? Well, we're going to get to those. We'll talk about all of those. We won't start there today. We're going to start in Romans 12. I think there are a lot more gifts than just those nine gifts that Paul was talking about there. Romans 12, and we'll start in verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, individually members of one another. That's helping, doing, etc. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us exercise those gifts accordingly. If prophecy, then according to the proportion of faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, I think that this list of gifts here includes both natural gifts, learned gifts, and it also includes some spiritual gifts. For instance, it talks about he who gives with liberality. I've known folks who are just natural money makers. I mean, they could make $1 million quicker than you could think about it. Of course, they'd be rich for 2 or 3 years, and then they'd be broke for a year. But in another year, they'd be back making $1 million again. They'd be giving it away. I mean, giving it away hands and fists to everybody they could find that the Lord led them to. Natural talent. Teaching, I think, is not a spiritual gift. How many of you can remember a really good teacher that you had in school? How about a really awful teacher? We've all had some of those, right? See, teaching, I think, is one of those things that, yes, you need years of training and education. That really does help a good teacher become a much better teacher. But I think that the best teachers, they're naturally born that way. There's just something different about them and their ability to teach. I generally teach to bunches of folks. Debbie says, I'm not a teacher, but that's not true. She teaches in a wonderful way, but it's usually one-on-one with folks. She has a natural ability to do that. Now, trust me, I understand that teachers need to be anointed in their teaching. All of these folks, these giftings here, whether they're natural or learned gifts and talents, you need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to really do that effectively, to do it to the greatest amount of excellence that you possibly can. I understand that. But don't confuse the fact that if you need anointing for this, that means it's a spiritual gift. It's not. Anointing is something we need for everything we do. Spiritual gifts are different from that. Understand? He mentions prophecy in verse 6. I think that's a spiritual gift. And when we get to 1 Corinthians 12, we'll talk about that. I'll explain it, give you some examples. Let me show you one that you might not have thought of here that I think is a spiritual gift, and that's the very last phrase. He says, he who shows mercy, let him do it with cheerfulness. Now, there are some folks who are just naturally merciful and compassionate. And then, of course, there are other folks who are just naturally very not tolerant and not merciful at all. So I understand there's some natural ability in there, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this gift that operates where the Holy Spirit comes on you and you literally feel the mercy and the compassion of the Holy Spirit towards someone. When that gift is operating, it's directed toward someone usually that's not very easy to love. And that's why I think he says, in showing mercy, do it with cheerfulness, because when you're showing mercy or love or compassion towards somebody that you're sure doesn't deserve it, it's really hard to be cheerful, you know. But this spiritual gift where that comes on you, you just, your heart breaks for these folks and you can't help it. This happens with me a lot when I'm praying for folks. Matter of fact, you can know that that's happening because if I'm praying for a woman, I'll ask a woman to hug the woman we're praying for. And you can tell he's probably feeling this gift of compassion and mercy. See, guys, I can tell you that if you want your career as a prayer minister to be very, very short, start going around hugging and holding the women you pray for. It is just not good form, okay? But that spirit of compassion and mercy comes on you, that gift comes on you, and you want to. I mean, you want to love them in a great way, you know? This happened with a friend of ours. He recently had some, I guess you'd call it domestic issues. His wife and daughter conspired against him, called the cops, told the cops he's been beating on them for years. And I just don't think that's true, especially if you know this guy. So after he gets out of jail, spend a night in jail, goes home, and he was describing to us how he felt toward his wife and daughter after coming home from jail. Now, here's the wife and daughter that just essentially kicked him in the teeth, right? He said, I have never felt more love and compassion for those two in my life. I don't understand it. What is going on? And I explained to him, this is a spiritual gift in operation in you. It's called the gift of mercy and compassion. And it's not coming from you. It's not coming from your ability to love them. It's coming from the heart of God. You know, this is God's heart, mercy and compassion. When we operate in that gift, we're operating in God's very own heart. And he was just getting a taste of how God loved his wife and daughter, no matter how rotten they had acted toward him. One time, Debbie and I were in New Orleans, and we decided we would sneak down to the French Quarter and go to Antoine's and get some turtle soup and escargot and various other delights that they have in the French Quarter there in New Orleans. It was in the evening at dark, And as we're walking to the restaurant, we notice a guy on the curb, half in the ditch or the gutter and half on the sidewalk there. Nice looking man in his 40s, businesslike, nicely dressed, but obviously very drunk. And when Debbie saw this guy, this gift started operating in her, and she felt this great compassion for him. And she went over to him to start to help him. And about that time she got there, the police arrived. And they got between her and this guy, and no, you can't tell. Well, we're ministers, we want to pray for him. No, you get out of here. We'll handle this guy. And so we left. We had to. And we go to the restaurant, another block. We walk into the restaurant. Well, Debbie's just boo-hooing like crazy for this guy. Her heart is broken for this guy. Tears coming down, and she's crying, and we walk in the restaurant, and she's sobbing and crying. And, you know, the maitre d' looks at me, and everybody else in the restaurant looks at me like, huh, what did you do to her? You beating her again or something like that, you know? But they didn't have any idea what was going on. Old wife beater. Okay, now, I want to finish up today with another bit of context for this. Okay, we're talking about gifts and how gifts are part of a community. They're for not only our good, but for the good of the community. Look at what Paul's talking about here in Romans 12, the first two verses that we read. He says, for just as we have many members in one body, and all members don't have the same function. He's implying we each have different giftings, we each have different abilities. Some of us can be led by the Holy Spirit or yielded to spiritual gifts at one time and maybe somebody else another. We're many, we're one body in Christ, individually members of one another. I mean, the whole point of exercising gifts and talents or spiritual gifts is what? It's to build up the members of the community, right? It's the body of Christ, to help the body of Christ as a whole. We're talking here about the body of Christ. What are we talking about? What is that? Sometimes we call it the church is part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the body of believers. And it's us. It's a community of believers. That's what he's talking about. Jesus never intended for believers to be lone rangers and to serve him by themselves. Not ever. God has always intended for us to serve him within the context of a community of some kind. Now, many believers want to go it alone because when you're living and you're closely interacting with other human beings, that's usually very messy and it's usually very painful. And no matter how nice the people are, we still end up rubbing each other wrong at times. And so some want to say, well, I know how to avoid that pain. I'll just do it by myself. That's not what God intended. Not ever. His plan is that we all be an integral, contributing part of a community. Sometimes we're involved in multiple communities, like you were talking about, a community of just widows. That's part of possibly two or three communities of churches or believers. Community isn't just a bunch of folks in a neighborhood. Community is when folks actually get connected together and they start working together to help each other so that the whole life of the community is better. The way community works for the common good is that all the individuals in the community are built up and then they in turn build up the entire community. And so we use our gifts to build each other up. And then in the areas where we're weak, somebody else has a gift or a talent or is strong. Spiritual gifts come along to help us. But I think in our modern era of technology, I think we're seeing a potential trap in Christianity, and that's related to computerized social networking, Facebook, Twitter, those sort of things. And it makes it easy to maintain an illusion of community and connectedness without all that messy interpersonal interaction or that real face-to-face relationship that you might have. I can friend you on Facebook, and I don't even have to know who you are. I can exchange texts and chats with you. I don't ever hear the inflection in your voice. I can imagine your inflections from your texts and your chats, and I can, based on my imagination then, I can imagine that you either don't like me or that you do like me, that you're endearing yourself to me somehow. And it's all based on my imagination. It's not based on what I see or what I hear in your voice. If we have a falling out or disagreement, I just unfriend you. That's all. It's easy. If you need something and I'm not interested in getting involved in a messy situation, I just ignore you. It's a whole lot easier to tell somebody no in a text than it is to tell them no face to face. Through social networking, I can just feel so connected. I am in such a tight community. When really maybe all I am is just addicted to hearing the latest gossip online, you know? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against Facebook or social networking or texting. I use those. I'm connected with that in several ways all the time. But I'm saying that we got to be careful and make sure that we don't use these technologies to replace real relationships inside a real community that has sometimes pain and joy of real human interactions, you know, with people that I'm truly committed to and people who are committed to me. We're sharing our gifts and our giftings. We're sharing our lives. Somebody said, I want you to pray for me. You know what I'm going to do? I want to take the time to in person pray for them and allow the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be in operation. Who knows what the Lord will do at that time? That's real community. That's what I'm talking about. So anyway, to conclude, I know we just laid the groundwork today. We really didn't get too much into spiritual gifts. We're going to do that next time, I promise. Matter of fact, one of the things we'll cover next time, Melanie, is this concept of spiritual giftings that seem to be almost natural for widows. The spirit of supplication, the spirit of intercession, that it's almost like, man, widows were just made for God to work through them in those spiritual gifts, if they'll take the time and let Him do that. So the Holy Spirit wants to operate through you in His spiritual gifts, and I'm sure He wants to operate through many of us here this morning. When we start to pray for folks this morning, Debbie and I are available to pray for folks, of course, but I want you to gather around with us, all of you, if you can or want to. Labor in prayer with us, and let's see what God will do for folks. And while we're praying, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Who knows? Maybe He'll move through you with the word of wisdom, or with the gift of healing, or with the word of knowledge, or maybe discerning of spirits, because we may be praying and evil spirits may be involved. There's a fellow that asked us to mentor him in operating in the gifts of healing. He felt like the Lord wanted him to do that, and he wanted to learn better how to do that. And so the other day we were praying over him, especially for that anointing that the Lord would be able to move through him with the gift of healing. And after we did that, a lady said that her feet hurt, and so he said, yes, I want to pray for her. And he prayed for her, and afterwards he was so disappointed that I didn't feel a thing. I thought maybe my hands would get hot, or she would start feeling like something was happening with her feet, or I'd get goosebumps or something. He said, I didn't feel a thing. I just prayed for her, and that was it. And he was so disappointed. The next morning, this lady calls him and said, look, I just want to make sure you know that as soon as you started praying for my feet, I felt God doing something in my feet. And by this morning, they were completely well. I am completely pain-free now. And so it's not about whether you feel it or not. It's about just showing up with our body and let our body be available to the Holy Spirit to use as we want. And we may feel in useless and we may not. But the point is to let Him use us.